are Reuben James on Main Street in Burlington. Find them online at rjsburlington.com and by Orange Theory Fitness. Come see why the New York Times and Men's Health rated the best one-hour workout. Your first workout is free. Open in Burlington on Shelburne Road. The Huddle is now on 101.3 ESPN. 101.3ESPN.com and streaming worldwide. 101.3ESPN app.
Good afternoon. You're in the huddle right here. 101.3ESPN. All accounted for. Brady's here. Rich is here. Artie's here. How you doing, handsome? What's going on, big boy?
39-17, baby.
Wow.
Woo! Yeah, don't act so swimmingly about it now. You were just throwing things around the studio in the top of the 90s.
Do you know how bad I was hoping for a single to tie it up so we could have extra innings so I wouldn't have to work today?
Yeah. The first thing he does when the Red Sox schedule is out in, like, January is he looks to see how many afternoon games there are so he doesn't have to do 20 minutes of a show.
I saw a second and third, nobody out, 6-4. I'm like, oh, yeah. Let's drive this one home, make it 6-5, get a sacrifice fly, 6-6. Let's go 18. I'm going home, baby.
I'll tell you, Kimbrel almost bit. That was classic, though. I mean, he walks the first guy, although, according to Joe, and Joe doesn't get riled up too much about umps calls. He was furious.
It was right there.
Oh, so you saw it.
Oh, I was watching it. Yeah, I was right there.
So the pitch was right down the middle. Then he walks the guy. Then the next guy comes up and doubles in two runs. So you got second and third, nobody out, with a tying run at second base. And Kimbrel weasels his way out of it.
I don't know if he weaseled it, getting strikeouts and a grounder to second.
Just an expression.
Yeah, I'm just saying.
Did a fine job getting out of it for the best team in baseball, ladies and gentlemen.
Pretty filthy slider he threw to, I think, Granderson to get that second out.
The Grandy Man came.
But how about that? Last night they send in a guy with an 8-3 lead. He loads up the bases. Kimbrel comes in and shuts him down. Today it's Brian Johnson. He comes in with two, almost blew it. But
they changed that rule because – long time ago, it wasn't with the man on deck. It was the man at the plate, right?
What are you talking about?
To get a save.
The tying run has to be in the on-deck circle for it to be a save.
Well, which it was.
That's only been around like for the last 20 years. I think before that, you had to have the tying run had to be at the plate.
Right. Oh, okay.
Before you got to say, like back in Bruce Sutter's day and all that. Could you imagine if the tying run only had to be on deck? How many more saves they would have?
Yeah, that feels a little vulture-ish that Kimbrel is, although he's had to work for it. I mean, coming in yesterday with the bases loaded, nobody out, and getting out of it, and today the tying run at second and nobody out. Granted, he created some of that, but what can you say, man? J.D. Martinez started to think that might have been a good pickup.
That ball was crushed.
Yeah, you could tell the way Joe described it that there might be an accident on the Mass Pike.
Yeah, it went out of Fenway. Running a Lansdowne Street. Isn't that what that is? That Lansdowne Street?
Over the left field wall, I think it is, yes.
Yes, okay.
Because Ned Martin in my youth used to always say, that one's heading to Lansdowne Street.
So, Martinez, I was thinking about this earlier. I don't know how many years J.D. Martinez is going to be in Boston. He's got the 2-year deal, and then he's got opt-outs after years 3, 4, and 5. So I have no idea if this is just a 2-year thing, flash in the pan, or if we're going to end up having him for all 5. But he could be on track to have the greatest first season ever in Boston by a free agent. Manny Ramirez went 41-125 back in 2001. J.D. Martinez could top that.
Yeah, he's currently at 18 home runs and 47 runs batted in, and let's see, they are 39-17, so they have played 56 games.
I think he broke the record of home runs in May by some guy by the name of Jim Rice.
It wouldn't surprise me. But so basically,
and I know who Jim Rice is. People are going to go, you don't know who he is? Being sarcastic, thank you.
But, I mean, they're about a third of the way through the season right now. So if he has 47 RBI, we're talking about 142-ish or whatever that is, 141.
I mean, Manny went, 41-125.
Yeah.
Ortiz went for 31 and a little over 100. So, I mean, there have been really good free agents, especially hitters in Red Sox history. But J.D. Martinez could top what both of them did in their first year. For when you hear about guys that have a hard time adjusting to Boston in particular and guys that have a hard time playing in the city their first year, this guy has dominated it so far.
You know, when you say that, I just want you to know something. When you say that he could be the best free agent in the history of the Boston Red Sox,
the
first year,
yes.
Right? So then what you're saying is the Red Sox and Dombrowski made the biggest mistake of their lives by only giving him 2 years instead of 5 years guaranteed. But now it's really going to cost him. Not only is this guy good, the best ever in the first year, right? That's what's going to happen.
It
now.
Could be. Yeah, could be possible.
It could be more than possible.
Such
now.
A roll of the dice. Look at David Price. Look at the difference. The trouble with Price is they're still stuck with him, and he's not going to be going anywhere. But it was. I mean, today was good. Swihart 2-for-3. You know, the bottom of the order hit. Bradley, don't look now, but he's almost to the Mendoza line. He had two more hits today.
I want to go back to what you just brought up.
Yeah.
Because I think that's a good question. Do I think the Red Sox made a mistake only giving him the 2 years guaranteed? I think that's a byproduct of where, number one, where baseball is at. Baseball itself this offseason was a lot more stagnant on the free agent market. Baseball is not overpaying anymore for hitters, especially hitters that are starting to push towards 30. That's a baseball-specific thing.
Right.
But even when you look at the Red Sox, they were, I'm not going to call it burned by David Price, but they haven't gotten their return on investment with David Price. Dustin Pedroia, as you always say, right, and I always say, is eating up a lot of money.
Hanley Ramirez was eating up a lot of money.
So you talk about the Red Sox that have invested a lot of money, and they know they have all these contracts to come. They were hamstrung.
Well, that's like I don't understand their decision, or maybe I wouldn't have made the right one. It just turned out to be the wrong one. That's all.
Yeah.
Simple. No, there's no about it. If we're talking strictly financial, and this guy's on pace to be the best first-year free agent in the history of the Boston Red Sox, financial tells you he'll opt out after a second year, and then the Red Sox are either going to have to overpay for him now for 3 years after that, or maybe even more. They may have to open up for another five more years, or he'll go somewhere else. Those are the only options, really.
That is possible. Right. Of course it's possible. Right. But it's
more than possible.
It's all going to be dictated. It's going to be really interesting what happens in this year's winter free agent market when you have Harper, Donaldson, Machado. Last year was the freeze of the free agent. This year is going to be, I don't know if it's an overspend, but this year is going to be where a lot of big money gets given out to position players. And that's where J.D. Martinez the next year is going to start thinking about
money. Wait, but I'll even tell you another thing. Because now you got to make a decision in 2 years, now you have to say, okay, let's say J.D. Martinez has the best 2 years in the history of the Red Sox. Now 2 years have gone by. You either got to re-up him, or what about all those other contracts up? What are you going to do about Kimbrel? You can't give them both, buddy. We know those are a dime a dozen for the relievers. And that's not to bring up the Devers
Mookie Betts. He's going to be a billion.
So now you've given a choice in 2 years. You either got to re-sign J.D. Martinez for another at least 4 or 5.
Yeah.
Or you got to give it to Kimbrel. So that means Kimbrel is pretty much going to be gone.
I would have to say,
remember, he's only got, another year left after this year.
No, this is it.
Oh, this is it.
Yeah,
you can't give him money.
And as he came into the game, you and
I've been saying it right.
You and I, Ernie, were talking about that during the broadcast today with Kimbrel coming in, because look at what he's done for the last 2 days. The rest of the bullpen hasn't been able to close it out in a non-save situation, so they've had to get Kimbrel in there, and he saved their butt twice. Granted, he got hit around a little bit today, but he came in and got out of a huge mess. I almost wonder if they don't make an exception for him, because he is so automatic.
You can't.
All right, well, then who's the next kick? You're going to find another Craig Kimbrel to come in and automatically close out games?
Yes, I am, because that's what history dictates.
Yeah.
Yes, I am.
The bullpen market is extremely volatile. We say that all the time. I want Craig Kimbrel back. I'd want him back at 3 years. It's not going to happen. He's going to want your 5-year Aroldis Chapman deal.
Sure.
He's going to want your 6-year.
Yeah. And he deserves it. I'm not saying he doesn't deserve it.
And he's not young. So
he's going to want your Kenley Jansen deal.
And he should get that.
Okay. Yeah. But I'm saying, they're not going to be able to pay that.
Right, exactly.
It's going to be, and I hate to even think this way, but it's going to be a situation of, can you get him to take a bit of, maybe not even a discount, but less years, because one, maybe he likes the team and the organization, and two, remember his daughter had been very sick.
Yep.
Being close to Boston Children's Hospitals, I would imagine, is a selling point in free agent negotiations. I hate to think that way, but that could be something that says for him, okay, I could take a year or two off or a little less money.
I got to also tell you this. If the Red Sox only offered me a 3-year deal compared to what Jensen got in
Chapman,
I'd be so insulted. That would be the first thing that came to my mind. Are they doing this on purpose because they know I want to stay because of the hospital? And that would really tick me off. So, you got to kind of walk a fine line there when you're doing something like that. But it just goes to show you now. Look at the one mistake, because you didn't tie up J.D. Martinez for 5 years. Now you got to deal with him in 2 years. Now you got to worry about Kimbrel. Somebody got to go.
And remember this. This is something that I hadn't realized. Kenley Jansen got a 5-year, $80 million deal, but he got an opt-out after 3 years.
Okay.
So maybe Kimbrel's willing to do an opt-out.
And it's interesting because you look at the saves leader, and I know it's a byproduct of the team you're on, and you get put in a situation where you can pile up saves. But these are guys who were just floating in the wind 2 or 3 years ago. I mean, Edwin Diaz, sorry, Brady, but you know, you don't think of him as the next Bruce Sutter. I mean, no. He's leading the American League in saves for your Mariners.
Although he was horrible last night, four runs in the ninth.
But, I mean, Shane Green, Alex Colome, who had a big year last year, Blake Treinen from Oakland, who has a 1 ERA in 12 saves. But, I mean, you look at these names, Brad Hand, Familia, Boxberger, Morrow. Those are your top 10 saves leader, along with Craig Kimbrel.
That's a lot of converted starters that didn't have it. Yeah. Brandon Morrow, failed starter. Edwin Diaz, failed starter. That's a lot of what that is.
Yeah, but I'm saying there's only 3 or 4 sure things as far as closers in baseball. I mean, obviously, Aroldis Chapman, obviously, Kenley Jansen, Obviously, Craig Kimbrel. There aren't a whole lot of others, and that's why I look at him as possibly a unique situation. Well, he certainly doesn't seem to be losing it.
Brady, good crowd at the Burger Bar yesterday.
Yeah, really great crowd over at Trivia. A lot of fun. I had an unbelievable Buffalo Philly cheesesteak. Unbelievable. That was great.
Well, wait a minute. Buffalo Philly?
Yeah, Buffalo. It's a Buffalo chicken cheesesteak. Yeah.
Two towns.
Yeah. Yes, Buffalo.
Just mix it on in there.
Yes, a Buffalo chicken Philly. That was unbelievable. Your son wrote some extremely confusing. They weren't hard questions. Yeah. They were just worded confusing. Yeah. So I had to layman's term them for everybody.
Because surely somebody came up and said, "Wait a minute, that's not right."
Oh, there was a couple of those.
Oh, yeah.
There was a couple of those that we had to go ahead and look up. So.
And then he loves playing gotcha because somebody comes up and says, "No, no, you're wrong." He goes, "Nope. That's why." Yeah. And he walked away.
And he walked away. So it's like everybody trying to one-up each other. So, but good crowd. Certainly a lot of fun, like we always do on a Tuesday night. Jamie in Essex says it's confirmed Arnie is nuts about Kimbrel. Not that I'm saying that he's not good or anything. You just have to make a decision on him. 5-year, $85 million is a lot of money.
And in a game where the starting pitcher becomes more and more devalued and the bullpen becomes more and more valuable, the closer market is hot. And the closer market is going to, the bullpen market is going to remain hot because bullpens are becoming even more important in baseball. The free agent offense market was down this year. The bullpen market is in a stretch where it's hot.
Sox are in a situation, I could totally see Joe Kelly taking over that spot. Kelly has been absolutely unhittable.
Might
since
be an all-star.
Day.
Yeah.
I mean, look at his numbers since he blew that game in opening day.
And you wanted him off the team and in double A.
Absolutely. Yes, you did. Yes, you did. No
yeah,
doubt
says
about
the guy
that.
Who said OVER when the Celtics were up 2-0.
Alex in Moncton said, aren't most MLB closers failed starters?
I mean, I'd have to look at the exact list. I can't tell you all of them off the top
I just
of my
think
head.
I just think of Dave Rigetti when I hear something like that. Yeah. But yeah, you know, but he was a
Chapman was a starter initially. He didn't have the staying power.
I think Rigetti was the other way around. He was a closer and then became a starter. Is that possible, Rich? Is that
I'm looking at this list. Was Andrew Miller ever a star? I mean, no, he's not really a closer.
Yes, Andrew,
Miller was a starter.
Yes. David Robertson.
Shane Green was definitely a starter.
Brad Peacock. I'm just looking at the list of saves leaders here.
Right. Brad Peacock was a starter.
Yes.
So maybe he's right about that.
Vermont Lake
Monster. Did you hear what Paul Pierce had to say about LeBron James? We'll get into that. We got a busy show. That's next right here on 101.3 ESPN.
If you think what Arnie says on the show is irritating, you should hear him during the commercial break. It's The Huddle with Rich, Arnie, and Brady. Only on 101.3 ESPN.
Wow, 88 degrees. How about that? You see,
and you're wearing a sweatshirt.
But you know what's so funny is, Brady, if we played outdoors like in Dallas or Phoenix and it was like 115 degrees, I could beat you in a one-on-one.
No, you couldn't.
Yeah, because I don't wilt away. I'm used to that. Yeah, I don't. I love that. I'll wear two shirts in 115 degrees.
I think you'd get
soak it up. Give me it all.
I think you'd get sunburned in 115. You burn easily, don't you?
I do, but I'll wear a long sleeve shirt. It doesn't bother me. I love the big heat.
It's not so much the heat, it is the humidity.
Yeah.
The humidity is the problem.
There's not humidity in Arizona.
Right, that's why it's okay.
That's why Arnie likes wearing a Speedo in the summer.
It's okay in 115. Yeah, it's okay.
It's a dry heat.
Yeah. Go play some golf out there, Brady. And
I don't want to be on
it. No cold drinks for you either.
There's a big difference between one-on-one and being golfing for 4 hours.
Yeah. They used to say, come on out, free for you today. I go, it's 117. It's free for you today.
It better be free.
Yeah. I'm not even coming out for free.
And I'll think about doing nine holes.
All right, Brady.
But, by the way, I ran into a guy from the YMCA league, the basketball league, at the gym in the locker room.
Brady,
And I said, do you know Arnie? Kind of big. I said big. I didn't want to say fat.
Yeah.
Bald guy who just sort of, and he just laughed.
Yeah.
I said, yeah, you know, the guy that just stands at the three-point line and
waits
for the
ball. So was a fat, bald guy you were talking to?
He was very large. He looks like a guy who could throw his weight around
like
and probably
6'4",
send you into Colchester, Mallet's
Bay. I don't know
Bay
who that is, Brady. I don't know. I don't know who he's talking about. Usually I dominate everybody that
He was a big guy. I wouldn't want to play hoops against him. No, he would have crushed me.
I'm sure I threw an elbow in his face one time or another.
You couldn't reach his face.
Brady, what did Paul Pierce have to say about LeBron?
No, he didn't say it to LeBron. Well, he didn't say it about LeBron. He might have said it to LeBron. Did you see the video?
Wow.
Did you see the video, Game 7, Paul Pierce sitting on pretty much underneath the basket, start of the fourth quarter? He stands up and starts talking to LeBron. People say that Paul Pierce was trash-talking LeBron, and then people say that Paul Pierce poking the bear is what set LeBron off for the fourth quarter, and maybe that's the reason why the Celtics lost.
You know what cracks me up is I love that they say, you know, they'll do something like that, but when it comes to going on TV, you know, other than maybe Shaq and Charles Barkley, none of them really like to stir it up. If you want, and I know some of them will say controversial stuff, but if you want to talk trash, Paul Pierce, you've got a whole television network, right? You want to talk trash? Boom! We all want to hear it. You've got an audience. I bet you if he said whatever he said to LeBron, if he said it on the air, it'd be going viral right now. Let us hear. Talk trash on your TV show. That's what they want from you. That's what they're paying you for, are they not? With the TV network not love for him to repeat exactly what he said on TV, or am I wrong?
Yeah, well, it's in the moment, so he's not on TV at the moment.
But repeat exactly what you said.
Look,
you know?
I think it's unprofessional and inappropriate. That's how I take it. You are now an acting member of the media.
Right. Well, that's why I said say it on your show, but not to him.
Yeah.
Right.
You left behind the right to talk trash to players on the court the minute you signed up to be in the media.
It's like when I saw Markieff Morris wearing a Celtics shirt in the stands for that series. I think it was only one game, but I thought that doesn't...
It's not every game of the playoffs.
Did he have it on every... I only saw one time when I saw him, and I said, is that really appropriate of him to be wearing a Celtics jersey? But that's another story for another time. But, I mean, first of all, there's a lot of wrong things about what Pierce did. First of all, don't poke that bear.
Yeah.
Of all the people to get... Just another thing to get him... As if he's... I mean, I'm sure he would have gone out and dominated anyway. But, man, it seems like the last thing on earth you want to do, especially... Now, was he there working, or was he
there just
as a fan?
Well, no, we don't know. I didn't see a press pass on him. He didn't have a microphone with him.
He had to have a press pass on him. Had to have. But maybe
he's also a Celtics Hall of Famer.
Yeah,
they got to take it that way.
Right, no, but he does the TNT, so he's on all the games, I believe.
Well, he's at ESPN, and he's usually a studio host. So, and I'm not saying he wasn't there... I'm not saying he hadn't worked there, but he didn't need to be working. He was a Celtics Hall of Famer. They could find a ticket for Paul Pierce if they want to. But it doesn't matter. Whether you're working or not working, you now represent ESPN. You now represent the Boston Celtics, who you played for more than a decade, and you represent ESPN. And there's a professionalism that comes with that. If you want to talk trash, then don't be in the media. Okay, you lost that right. It's your job now to speak objectively on TV, and that's it.
I have no problem with him as a former Boston Celtic saying whatever he wants to LeBron James, but I have a big problem with him as a member of ESPN shouting there. Absolutely. I mean, what's the first thing you're told whenever you're sitting on press row anywhere? Keep your mouth shut. Don't stand up and scream at the players. And you learn that real quickly because you hear it from the veterans on press row if you act up at all.
Maybe I'm confused. I like when Charles Barkley says, I want to punch Draymond Green in the face.
Yes.
He doesn't say that to Draymond Green during a game. Hey, I want to punch you in the face. He says it on his TV show or the studio show or whatever the hell you want to call it, pregame show.
Yeah.
Right. Well, it could be whatever the safety is, but at least he's letting us know he's not taunting somebody in the middle of the game. You want to say stuff like that. You want to taunt, right? You're not a player. Do it on your radio show, your TV show, your newspaper article, your magazine article, your blog, right. your podcast, whatever. But not during the game.
Yeah, but
to the player.
It also, though, loses, you know, if he's trying to talk trash in the moment, him waiting a day doesn't, it's no longer valid anymore. Because if he wants to say, hey, LeBron, you suck. You can't hit the broadside of a barn. Hey, you're no good.
Right.
Hey, I'm the truth. You're the lie. Whatever. That's not going to work. That's an in.
No, but he shouldn't be saying that anyway. So,
but that's
an
in-moment thing. That does, you know. Charles Barkley's shtick works a day later, an hour later, a month later. Paul Pierce, I think, had a very poignant, in-the-moment conversation.
Boy, as a Celts fan, I'd be disappointed to hear that.
I don't know. Sometimes you get caught up in the moment. Funny story, I have a friend of mine in high school. He was the ball boy for the UCLA Bruins. They're playing Notre Dame. The score's tied. Notre Dame's at the foul line. He's sitting under the bucket because he's the ball boy. He throws the towel at the guy shooting the foul shot. And I said to him, and the referee stops the game and throws him out. I go, what were you thinking? What were you thinking? That nobody was going to notice that you threw the towel?
You mean I can't do that?
No. I go, you've been ball boy for how long? And he goes, I don't know what I was thinking. I just wanted to have him miss it so bad. And so you throw the towel? I go, why don't you just kick a ball at him or something? So I can see how you get lost at it. I've never seen it. He just threw a towel at the guy shooting the foul shot. So maybe Paul Pierce gets caught up and he doesn't play anymore, so he shouldn't really get caught up.
And he knew what he was doing because he had a wry smile. If you watch the video, he had a wry smile on his face. He wasn't really yelling at him. It looked more psychological than anything. And I haven't even heard officially that it was talking trash, but everybody is saying that he was talking trash, and I find it completely out of bounds.
Andrew at Ferrisburg says, I don't understand trash talking. Why would you want to motivate your opponents?
Especially him.
Well, some people don't play good when they're mad
right.
or anything
yeah,
like that.
Yeah, but LeBron doesn't play badly in any
scenario.
Well,
that's LeBron.
Paul Pierce yelling at him is going to do nothing but get him more fired up than he already was.
He should have said, what do you think his line was? Hey, LeBron, remember 2010? Hey, LeBron, remember you lost Game 7 here before? Hey, LeBron. You leave in Cleveland like you did the last time you lost to Boston? Like, I don't know. What were Paul Pierce's go-to lines, even?
I don't know if it,
the truth hurts.
Robin Ficker was the professional heckler at the Washington, they used to be the Bullets, the Washington Wizards.
Awful.
He would read from, like, Charles Barkley's autobiography.
Yeah.
Oh, he was
That's genius.
Wicked. He was
That's
a
genius.
Lawyer.
I've had him on my
game.
Show before. He was just genius, man. So he would read stuff about Barkley's autobiography, and that would just bother Barkley like all hell.
My buddies in high school found the phone numbers of the star basketball player on every team we played against, and they just had a sign-up with his phone number the entire game.
Oh, funny. How funny, Alex and Monkton. Pretty sure the veterans on press row aren't saying a damn thing to Paul Pierce.
Does it matter? Okay, it's inappropriate. You are now an active member of the media.
Yeah, could you see some guy, Hi, I Do Williams blog. Mr. Pierce, can you keep it down, please? You can't be doing that.
Especially at the Garden. Good luck
He also wasn't on press row. He was behind the basket.
It was a fan, but
The moment you're a member of the media, to me, you lost the right to do that. I don't see Mark Teixeira talking trash at Yankees games. I don't see guys doing that anywhere else. Not appropriate.
So that being said, then, of course, you can't do it because of the configuration of Patrick Jim. But just let's say I'm standing against the back wall and a player for Albany is trying to win the game with a 1 second left tie game, and he's at the free throw line. And I'm back there waving and screaming. I'm in one of those seats. That they're in right
like
behind.
I did when I was screaming and Brady told me to sit down?
Yes, exactly
right.
That.
You're awful.
I am.
But I mean, how would you feel if I was standing there waving a towel? Because you're allowed to do that in those seats. There are seats right there. It's the Tom Brennan seats, if you will.
I think it's slightly different in that they're on our station. It is our job to help build up the excitement around UVM basketball, and we can make a gimmick out of it. Paul Pierce is a member of the national media, and he's not supposed to have a skewed stance on things. We are supposed to be skewed towards UVM.
Right,
Paul Pierce is supposed to be objective towards everything.
But I am a fan of UVM waving that towel, and B, I am a member of the local media with a press pass to get in there.
If you use that press pass to get in, then yes, you don't have a right.
Okay.
If you paid for your own ticket, then I feel a little different.
Just sneak in like I do. No, I'm just kidding.
If you paid for your ticket, I feel a bit different.
When have you ever paid for a ticket in your life, Arnie?
Oh, all the time.
You get mad at me when I go to spring training every year in Arizona and say, don't you dare spend a cent for
a ticket.
I'm
like, call them
up.
They'll give you free tickets. What's wrong with you? Why are you spending money on tickets? Really, it's insane. All right, when we get back, and they say Brady and Belichick going to be maybe the Pats' biggest storyline of 2018. We'll discuss that next right here on 101.3 ESPN.
And you thought the ESPN network hosts were opinionated.
Unsupportable opinion.
It's The Huddle with Rich, Arnie, and Brady on 101.3 ESPN.
All right, good afternoon, everybody. You are in The Huddle right here, 101.3 ESPN, about 5:06 minutes away from Buster Only. That will start off hour two. First, we want to get to this story. What is ESPN predicting? Explain this to me, Brady, because I'm not sure how they predict there's going to be like the biggest feud or something like that. What's going on?
No, so ESPN asked all of their reporters, all of their NFL reporters, to pick their team that they cover, what the biggest storyline of the 2018 season would be. So Mike Reese, who covers the Patriots for ESPN, he said the Patriots' biggest storyline of the season, not of the offseason, of the season would still be the Brady Belichick drama and how they're getting along. I disagree with that. I think once the season starts, they're both professionals. It's the biggest story of the offseason, but I don't think once the season starts, this is a big deal.
I disagree with that also. I would think it's going to start all over again because it's been the biggest storyline every year since the Kansas City game when he was horrible. If Tom Brady plays one bad game, is he done? Is he finished? Who's the heir apparent? Who's the backup? They shouldn't have traded Garoppolo. This is what happens. What are they going to do now? Let's start looking at the college quarterbacks. That's going to be the biggest story. That's if he starts off 2-2 or something like that. Right. That's always the storyline, is it not?
Yes, it is. And wow, I agree with something you said. It's been a couple of days or weeks.
But I mean, that's pretty much what it is every year from here on out.
I couldn't agree more, Arnie. I think that's exactly what the story is going to be. And they probably will get off to a 2-2 start because they do every year. And then they start flying and they end up 12-4 or 13-3 or whatever. I absolutely think that's going to be the biggest story. I think basically, to just put it a different way, I think, will there be an appreciable decline in Tom Brady's play on the field? To me, that's the biggest story, and people are going to be looking at it with an absolute microscope.
Yeah, I think once the season starts, they're both professionals. Once training camp starts, they're both good. It might not ever be water under the bridge at this point, but we're never going to hear about it. They're both too tight-lipped, and they're both too committed to trying to win. That as long as they're together, we're never going to know from them directly that something's
unless
wrong.
Unless Belichick does something stupid.
I like have a burner Twitter account.
No, unless he says something like, you know, he's in a, you know, let's say they start 0-2 or something, and he says something like, yeah, we all got to pick it up. Nobody's got a starting job on this team, even the quarterback. You know, he says something ridiculous like that, and then,
yeah,
you know,
that'll happen.
You
Bill Belichick, the most controlling press conference human being that ever walked the earth.
Well,
you think he'll spit that out?
He's already said stuff to bother Brady, that's for sure. Maybe he'll say, okay, maybe he won't say it at a press conference. Maybe he'll say it at practice, and then somebody repeats it from practice.
Yeah, they're going to have to dig to find that line. Mike Reese is going to really have to earn his money to get that out of Bill Belichick.
You don't think he says crap like that when they're not playing well?
Oh, I do, but not to the press.
And I think that if you're going to dig deeper towards on field, once you move off Brady, I do think there are a lot of storylines to continue to develop with this team. How do they replace the old guard that left? Deion Lewis, Danny Amendola, Nate Solder, Malcolm Butler. That's a lot of pieces there that need replacing. Who fills in for those guys and how can they do it? What about the injured players that are coming back? What do they have left in the tank? What impacts can they make? Julian Edelman, Dante Hightower. Then what rookies are finally going to give this team some youth as they need to turn the roster over into getting some young players that are also competitive and able to be starters? This team needs youth. It's one of the oldest rosters in the NFL. It's a top 10 oldest roster in the league. They need to find some rookies. Duke Dawson, Sony Michel, how do those guys fit in?
Yeah, the Sony Michel situation is going to be interesting because you're going to try it. I would think at some point, especially later in the season, if they start winning and they get off to a typical 6-1, 7-1 kind of start, and the handwriting's on the wall that they're on their way to the playoffs, that you start to see Brady handing off to Sony Michel a little bit more. That wouldn't surprise me. It's going to be interesting because they're in a strange situation where they have they're in a almost to a change of the guard scenario right now, and yet the guy who drives the entire operation and has for the last 18 years, there's nobody behind him. So it all starts with Brady, but everything behind him, sort of like LeBron midseason this year, where the Cavs just switch teams, basically, as part of his supporting act. It'll be interesting to see if that happens.
All right, I'm going to get to Alex and Moncton's text next hour because I know we got Buster Olney coming up.
Yep.
If you want to get in your comments, get in the Town Fair Tire text line, 802-655-6672. That's 802-655-6672. Last couple days, I've not been impressed with the Town Fair Tire text line. Not nearly as many texts as like when we ask you what your favorite flavor of Ben and Jerry's is,
right,
or something like that.
Well, throw something outlandish out there. You do it all the time.
Even when we do something outlandish, it's only when we do like, you know, what's your favorite color? Then we get like 10 million right, texts out, and it gets insane. Or your favorite ice cream. All right, hour one in the books. Brady's going to have a Sports Center update. We'll come back with Buster Olney. Got a lot of baseball to get to.
Yeah.
Busy show on this Wednesday. You're in the huddle right here on 101.3 ESPN.
All right, so you have an Amazon Echo. Just ask your Echo device to enable 101.3 ESPN. Then, anytime you want to listen, just say open 101.3 ESPN. The Huddle is back on 101.3 ESPN.
All right, good afternoon, everybody. You're in the huddle right here, 101.3 ESPN. Show just flying on by. Red Sox get a victory tonight, 6-4. I was hoping for the day off. You know that, don't you?
You do. You sit here and you go, come
on. Come on, extra innings.
I mean, 6-4.
Come on, extra innings.
6-4. Kimbrel comes in, the tying run at second with nobody out in the top of the ninth for the Blue Jays, and you're just sitting there, come on.
It's 88 degrees and sunny out. I wanted to go down to Pomeroy Park, play a little basketball. And
yeah, sure you did.
Well, my knee hurts, so I can't really.
Of course it does.
It's just getting better. No, it is. It's just starting to get better now. So.
By the way, my first day at Orange Theory tomorrow.
Ooh, yeah. Are you excited or what?
Well, if you can do it, I certainly can.
That's what
I mean,
you
you've
think.
Done. You've been there like four times already, and you seem to be upright for the most part.
Well, I missed the last couple weeks because of my knee.
Right, but you seem to get through it okay, and I'm thinking if you can do it, I certainly can.
That's a good way of looking at it.
Yeah.
That is a good way of looking
despite the fact that you are a chiseled athlete.
I am chiseled.
Yes.
There's no doubt about that. Let's go right out to the TikTok Jewelers guest line. Joining us now, our ESPN MLB insider, it's Buster Olney. How you doing, Buster?
I'm doing great, but not as well as Brady is, because Brady's feeling very good that his boys up in Seattle are hanging in the race.
Yeah.
Despite all the problems that they've had, despite all the stuff going on with that team, they're battling. They're making him proud.
Buster, I appreciate that. I have to say I'm worried about Edwin Diaz's workload, and last night I fell asleep and missed him give up four runs in the ninth, so that was good for me.
That was good for you, but you know what? They've overcome a lot worse than that.
That's very true. Yes.
All right, Buster, I'm coming out with the hard-hitting questions. All right, let's start with Carl.
Boy.
No, this is actually a big one.
I feel like a hockey goalie. I don't know which direction it's coming from.
Well, Tampa Bay Rays outfielder Carlos Gomez, he's speaking out against the drug policy for Major League Baseball, saying random baloney. They don't test your random. They target players. You believe that or what? What do you think when he says something like that?
Well, remember, the drug testing program is also the oversight comes from the union as well as Major League Baseball. So it's not Rob Manfred sitting in his office with a Cupid doll sticking pins in it going, I mean, it's run by both sides. I can tell you that a lot of players believe what Carlos Gomez said, that there's nothing random to it, that there are times when players feel like that, you know, there might be some suspicion, or a guy hits a bunch of home runs in 2 months and he'll say, boy, I've gotten a lot of drug tests lately. but I have a hard time believing that the union would sanction a program that would specifically target players.
You must love guys like Carlos Gomez, though. He's never been one to shy away from a microphone with very strong opinions. I mean, can you think of a couple of guys like that you just go up to and go, oh, here it comes?
Oh, man, well, a lot of them. And lately, it's Trevor Bauer, right?
Yes.
Who's got opinions all over the place. He got he goes after the Astros. He's suggesting he's using pine tar. Then he denies it. He came after me on Twitter a couple weeks ago. He definitely has a lot of opinions. And you're right. There are always those players who like to do that. And Carlos Gomez is one of those guys who just has fun. And he, through the course of his career, he's rubbed people the wrong way sometimes with the body language. If you get to know him at all, you know he's just having fun.
Buster, I want to talk to you about the Red Sox win today. J.D. Martinez homers again. We went through and looked at it. He could put up the best first season ever by any Red Sox free agent. This guy could be on a historic pace.
It's amazing how good he looks and how comfortable he is right away. And you guys remember that story that came out during the winter about how Well, J.D. Martinez is unhappy with the Red Sox offer, and he may not sign even if they were to give him an offer. And I just remember laughing at that, like, yeah, right. J.D. Martinez is as focused a professional as we'll see. He really cares about his work. And I don't think I told you guys this story, and forgive me if I did, but a few weeks ago we had the Diamondbacks, who J.D. played for last year on Sunday Night Baseball, and so I spent some time with A.J. Pollock. And he told me that last year, in the 2 months that J.D. was with the Diamondbacks, he found out that J.D. and his personal hitting coach were going and hitting in the morning at cages, at a batting cage that was 45 minutes from his house. So A.J. said, hey, you don't have to do that. Come to my house. We have an indoor cage. And so every morning at 11 o'clock, J.D. would be there with his coach in the indoor cage working. This is before a 7 o'clock game. So he hit 11 o'clock. He would hit at 3 o'clock, he would hit at 5:30, and then from what I understand, he videotapes everything he does so he can review his swing. When the Red Sox were in Yankee Stadium a couple weeks ago, Tim Kirchen, my colleague, noticed that he had this camera all set up at the cage and was like, what are you doing with that? And J.D. said, I tape every swing that I take. I want to make sure that I'm on target. That tells you what a serious professional this guy is.
Wow. So let's piggyback off that, because we were talking about this earlier. Martinez may opt out. You may have to re-sign him. That could be the mistake of the Red Sox. They'll have to worry about Mookie Betts. They'll have to worry about Devers. There's going to be a lot of guys that they're going to have to worry about when their contracts come up. One of them, Craig Kimbrell. Do you have to pay a reliever? He's going to want more than what Jansen got. He's going to want more than some of the big relievers out there. Do you have the money, if you're the Red Sox, to pay him and everybody else?
No. Look, they're already over the luxury tax threshold. At some point, they're going to have to get a hold of it, which is why, look, if you're a Red Sox fan, enjoy 2018. Enjoy 2019, because there's no question that up ahead, there's a cliff. Oh. And between the issues with the farm system and some of the financial concerns, potential free agency for guys like Mookie Betts down the road, we don't know what the Red Sox are going to look like in 2020, 2021. It is going to be really difficult. They're going to have to make some really tough financial decisions, and they're also going to have to start rebuilding that farm system.
Lester, you think this team's better off without Hanley Ramirez at this point?
I do. It was interesting. I was talking with someone with the Red Sox about this and last weekend when the decision came down, and I was actually surprised by the surprise over this decision. First and foremost, you guys know and everybody knew, there was no chance that they were going to put him in a situation where that contract for next year would vest at $22 million.
Right.
It was just no chance. You start with that.
Right.
He hadn't been playing well. His performance was down. And if your choice, if you're the Red Sox, we just talked about the lack of a farm system. If your choice is another half season of a maybe productive Hanley Ramirez at the back end of his contract making $22 million, or Blake Swihart, one of your few young players who has some promise, who's not making anything, are you kidding me? It's not really even a choice. So I absolutely understand why they went this route.
Buster Olney, ESPN MLB Insider, with us here on the Huddle, 101.3 ESPN. Buster, I got two questions for you. I'll start with the last one on the Red Sox. David Price had built up some good faith with me over spring training in the early part of the season. What do you make of his comments on Monday, kind of taking shots at the people who take shots at him?
Yeah, I think he's a lot like a lot of athletes who are always looking for a scrap with somebody. Okay, that's part of how he gets motivated on a daily basis. And a lot of players, a lot of people in baseball are like this. Tony La Russa is the best example I can give you, because I noticed, you know, each day it seemed like there was some mini controversy. Tony getting into it with a reporter. Tony getting into it with a player on the opposing team. Tony getting into it with one of his own players. There were a couple times when Tony he took shots at me for various things. I might have said on television or reporting or something like that. And then you realize it's not personal. It's just Tony going through his day. And I feel that way with David, that David is going along. And so when he has a good game, it's not like, yeah, I felt really good. It's like, people don't believe in me. I mean, geez, every time a Super Bowl champion is crowned, NCAA tournament champion is crowned, all those guys will always say, no one believed in us. That's kind of what David Price is doing, I think, when he picked up that issue the other day.
Buster, the Yankees win a great one last night. I feel like Brett Gardner is the soul of that team, but Gleyber Torres, pretty unbelievable too. What do you think of both those guys?
Well, you're right about Brett. He absolutely is that way. What a great professional. He's very accepting of young players. He's very helpful for young players. He and CeCe Sabathia set the tone in that clubhouse with Aaron Judge now. And Gleyber Torres, and I want to make this 100% clear, I'm not comparing Gleyber Torres and what he has accomplished in his career to what Derek Jeter accomplished, but I will tell you there's so many similarities between what distinguished Derek as a hitter and Gleyber Torres. It's that unbelievable approach that they have at the plate where they work the ball through the middle or take it the opposite way. How many times did you guys see Derek Jeter hit a slow roller through the right side or bounce a ball or hit a line drive up the middle? That sort of approach, I think, you know, not only is it essentially slump-proof because you can hit a 40-hopper through the right side if you're not going very well, but on top of that, I always thought that that was one of the reasons why Derek was so great in the postseason was because against really good pitchers, he never tried to do too much. He just hit the ball up the middle to right field. That's what Gleyber Torres does so well, and we saw it on the game-winning hit last night. He has great at-bats against great pitchers because he really keeps it simple.
You know, Buster, I want to back up for a second. When you were talking about Ramirez, you said you were surprised that everybody else was surprised that he wasn't coming back. Maybe one thing that kind of caught us off guard, that they were going to bring him back, but it was Cora that actually made the decision. Did that surprise you, or should he be calling the shots anyway?
Well, that's the story the Red Sox have told.
Wow. Okay. So,
and I don't know, and it may well be that that's the case, guys, but I had a couple agents point out to me that if you wanted to cover your tracks because you were trying to get out from underneath the betting option, then you keep it away, far away from the front office as possible.
I'm with you on that. That's what I said.
That, I'm not telling you that's what the story is.
Right.
I don't know what the story is. But when that came out, that certainly raised some red flags for agents.
Buster, back to the Yankees. I heard Michael Kay say this morning that he thinks this Yankees team, the 2018 New York Yankees, are the worst Yankees team for the next 5 years. As a Sox fan, I cringed. Do you buy that?
I do buy it. Because you're seeing, you know, these young players, Andujar and Gleyber Torres and Aaron Judge, Greg Bird, Luis Severino, they're going to get better. And what's even scarier for Red Sox fans is their farm system is absolutely loaded. It's a top five farm system. They also have payroll flexibility, which is something the Yankee teams in the past haven't had. And so they're loaded with great young players. They're loaded in the farm system, and they have a ton of money that they can spend moving forward. I can't remember a time when the Yankees were better positioned, and it really does speak a lot to the work that Brian Cashman has done, not only managing the team, but I think in managing his bosses, so to speak, to get Hal Steinbrenner to buy into the idea of really building up the farm system and okaying the trades of Andrew Miller and Aroldis Chapman, which I think will go down in history. You know, we'll look at that as being a turning point for the organization.
Buster, we talked about J.D. Martinez's meticulous work ethic. Well, what about Aaron Judge? I read a lengthy story yesterday that I almost even got lost in about how much work he put in over last year into his swing. Explain what he's doing differently.
Well, I can't, I have not talked to Aaron specifically about his off-field regimen. I will tell you that this, to me, is the most underrated part of Aaron Judge in this conversation. Like, for example, I had a poll this week. If you had to invest in a player like you did a stock, who would you take? Mookie Betts, Aaron Judge, Carlos Correa, or Mike Trout? And I had a number of people come back at me and said, how could you put Aaron Judge in the same sentence as a Mookie Betts or Mike Trout? And I defer to Aaron Boone, his new manager, who I talked to at the end of spring training, and asked him, of all the players that you've learned about on the team, that you know, tell me the guy you've learned the most about. And he goes, without pause, he said, Aaron Judge, this guy wants to kill you. This guy is an absolute rip-your-heart-out competitor. And as we talked, it's along the lines of like a Michael Jordan, you know, how serious he is about it. And you see that in his at-bats. This guy, and look, Ted Williams will always be the model for hitters in terms of the understanding of the strike zone, the understanding of what he's trying to do with the plate. Joey Votto is another example of that at Cincinnati Reds right now. Aaron Judge is in that same vein. Like, he is a worthy heir to that sort of mantle of his understanding of the strike zone, his understanding of his swing and what he's trying to accomplish, and how seriously he takes every pitch. He does not give away at-bats. And that's something that'll work for him to the point that when I said that to Aaron about, boy, you know, his strike zone in a bad year, to me, he would have a 360 on base percentage in a terrible year. And Boone looked at me and said, I think you're selling him short. I think in a bad year, he's got a 390 on base percentage.
Wow. All right, Buster, last thing before I let you go, since I came out so hard-hitting, let's back up a few years. Let's say you're 28 years old, which is what, only two, 3 years ago for you. If you're a young guy and you had to be like a young beat reporter, would you rather cover Nick Saban, Popovich, or Belichick and have to ask questions and be ridiculed every practice?
Without a doubt, I would cover Popovich because from what I understand, Popovich, while he doesn't like the in-game interviews, behind the scenes, he's tremendous in the insight he shares. I've also heard great things about Belichick, that if you can get behind the Iron Curtain he's someone who would welcome you in and have conversations, that he's incredibly engaging. You learn so much. That would be really cool. Nick Saban, I'd have no patience for that.
Buster, I got one more small one for you. We were talking about this. Paul Pierce, who now works at ESPN, was reportedly talking trash to LeBron at Game 7. And I said, now that you're in the media, you can't be doing that stuff. What do you think about that? Because you work with a lot of former players. Once they're in the media, do they lose that right, or is it fair game?
What up, Z-Rod talking trash or something? Yeah, go ahead.
I can't even imagine, because I thought you were going to ask me if I would talk trash. I'm like, yeah, right.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Aaron Judge, you guys got no shot against the Red Sox. Yeah, that would work. Look, I think it just depends on the personality. Like you guys see all the time, Charles Barkley gets into it with the players, and you'll say, I think this guy stinks. Or, well, who was the player that he said he wanted to,
Okay.
Just a test.
Yeah.
The world's not ending.
No. Is Buster still there?
I think Buster's still there.
Buster, you're still there. Oh, he was gone. Wait, unless you get him back up there. Buster, are you still there?
Hold on,
everybody. I wanted to hear the last part, and we had the emergency broadcast.
We have absolutely, just to let people know, we have.
Maybe. Buster, you still there?
You guys got me?
Yeah, we had the emergency broadcast system.
Yeah, the world is not ending, but go ahead, Buster. Any thoughts on that?
I was wondering about that. Yeah. That was really weird. What a weird sound. Look, I think it just depends on the personality of the guy. Like Charles Barkley with Draymond Green, saying he'd like to punch him in the face. For me, it feels a little bit over the top, but you know what? I'm not Charles Barkley. And if Paul Pierce feels like that he's got to defend the Celtics and the pride of the Celtics that way, hey, then that's fine, and he's also going to live with the ramifications, right?
Yeah. And you could talk trash if you'd like. We'd like to hear that.
Yeah, no thanks.
How funny would that be?
Except I'd say this. We can always talk about the Mariners every week for Brady.
Yeah.
And Brady knows this. Any prediction I make on the Mariners is going to be 180 degrees wrong. So for your sake, Brady, I'll say the Mariners have no shot.
Yeah. Thank you. Buster, I'll just get a Twitter burner account if I need one, too.
There you go.
Buster, have a great week, buddy. Always appreciate it. We'll speak to you next week.
See you guys.
All right, thanks. Take care. Buster only, everybody. He's
one of the few media guys that's literally right on the field. I mean, he has access to trash talking, doesn't he?
I can't imagine Buster talking trash.
Is that Buster Olney screaming? He's running on the field.
Maybe at a Vanderbilt football game.
Yeah.
You know?
Or a Randolph High School basketball game.
But what happens if A-Rod talks trash? You're not going to tell him to not stop. Stop talking, A-Rod. You shouldn't be doing that.
Oh, I don't know.
I don't think that would be greeted with a lot of happiness.
Yeah, I don't think that would be all that good either.
But A-Rod has done such a good job of getting his public persona and reputation back at least in a semi-positive light.
Right. And, hey, remember, mistake of the day?
Yeah.
802-655-6672. You can get in. Brought to you by Embroidery Works at Joann's Uniforms in Colchester, where they help small businesses with screen printing, embroidery, and vehicle lettering to get it right the first time. And we were perfect yesterday, by the way.
Wow, nice. All right. We have the latest on the trade rumors for the draft rumors for the Celtics. We'll get to that. Red Sox signed a new name, but he's not so new to people who've been following baseball. We'll get to all that coming up next. You're in the huddle right here on 101.3 ESPN.
Go Lakers. Back to the huddle, where you can give us your take at 802-655-6672. Providing Artie shuts up long enough to let you get a sentence in. 101.3 ESPN. Let's go!
By the way, Jeff in Plattsburgh said, this is not a mistake of the day, but how about a save of the day, saving Buster online during the emergency drill. So that that was pretty good.
Good. It's nice to be recognized.
Yes. We were freaking out on that just a little bit out there. I was a little worried. I was wondering if Buster was talking over the emergency broadcast.
He was. He was.
The whole time.
Yes, he was talking. Because I went to get him back on the line, and I was listening to him give a great answer to that. He then still gave us again, but.
By the way, your Mariners are pretty much guaranteed to get a wild card.
No.
Oh, stop.
Pretty much.
We're 50-something games in.
No, he's just doing that to irritate me and jinx them.
No, it's only the Yankees in Seattle. Who's really the...
What are you talking about? The Angels?
But they're behind you. That's the only other team.
By like a game?
Yeah, but it's like a three teams, two of those will go.
Nope, not guaranteed.
Again, this is coming from O-V-E-R.
This is coming from trying to J-I-N-X me.
O-V-E-R.
It's not going to be a big race for that wild card. There'll be only about four teams for two spots.
Bye-bye, Cavs.
You'll have like an 80% chance, 50% chance.
5% chance.
I don't think that we've really hammered you enough about that Cavs prediction. I mean, that was pretty ridiculous. It just, we never really.
Actually, it was three games to two Boston. What are you talking about?
No, you started saying OVER at 2-0.
It was over. The Celtics
apparently not.
He said OVER at 1-0.
And it should have been. Celtics should have won that series.
Yeah, but I heard from people out and about that we didn't hammer you nearly enough for another preposterous prediction.
They should have won that series. They let it slip right through their damn fingers.
How are you right?
When you're up 3-2.
And it's OVER for the Cleveland Cavaliers, who then won the series.
Cavaliers, let me just say one thing on this. They have no chance whatsoever.
No.
Zero.
Well, that's a bold prediction.
They're already asking if it's the most lopsided NBA Finals ever.
According to Vegas, do you know what you can get if the Cavaliers just win the series? 10-1. That's unheard of. That's unheard of.
You can get a $100 jersey from Demarius Randle.
Yes, but he's going back on that now. You heard about that?
He said that.
He didn't know it was going viral like that. He goes, we'll talk about it.
Yeah, he's $33 million in debt so far if they win.
All right, give me the latest draft rumors for the Celtics. What's going on there?
Yeah, we're two full days into the Celtics offseason, three full days, whatever it is, and we're already hearing draft rumors. So rumors are out of the Sporting News that Boston's looking to move up in the draft, and they want Texas center Mo Bamba, 6'11", a wingspan of 7'10", a freak athlete. This guy is a freak athlete. Really good shot blocker, good scorer down low, not much of an outside game at this point in his young career. But Mo Bamba, they think he's going to be a pick maybe in the top three or just outside the top three. So you're talking about the Celtics comfortably getting in to at least number three in the draft to guarantee themselves a chance to probably get this kid. Number one, do you like him? And number two, are you okay with what you have to give up to get up to move up 20-plus spots?
If I get up to number three, I'd rather get up to number two. And you have enough to get up to number two. I want DeAndre Ayton because I think the difference between him and Mo Bamba is like night and day.
You just like him because he's from Arizona.
No, it's also because he's actually going to be the number two pick. I think he should be the number one pick. You don't have a lot of big men like him that can score, that have a jump shot, that can hit from the perimeter, and actually can hit the three-point shot also. And he's big. He's got a big body. He's a defender. If you're going to trade up, that's who you go after. I'm not sure this guy's going to work out or ever amount to a big-time scorer or anything like that, but I certainly know if you can get up to number three, you can get up to number two. You'd have to give up a lot to do that.
This one concerns me a little bit. You've got to get up to number two so you get at least one of the two big men that you're after. You have to be guaranteed that. If you're going to give up like a Jaylen Brown to the Hawks to get their number three overall pick, and this guy's already gone with a 1-2 picks, then you've just thrown away Jaylen Brown.
It's going to take Jaylen Brown, and it's going to take multiple draft picks. And it might take more. Now, Terry Rozier, I'm sure a team would want, but his contract's going to be coming up at some point, and he's going to want more money. But it's going to take more than just Jaylen Brown to go and get a top five pick.
No, I'm not. My point isn't so much who they're giving up. My point is this is a dangerous thing to do. If the two bigs that they want go 1-2 and they trade away half their team to get the third pick, then they're stuck with yet another guy, you know, another high draft pick on a team full of them.
I don't do it only really because of one reason, because the draft is coming up and I'm worried about Kawhi Leonard, and I'm not going to get that answered before the draft. And if you're going to start trading around draft pieces, and draft pieces could be a big part of this getting Kawhi Leonard. So if you're actually going to do this, I have to assume that means you're not going to get Kawhi Leonard. Do they know that ahead of time, or are they going to say, you know what, we're just not going to get him, so let's just move on from that and try to get this guy? Is that the thinking here? I'm not sure, Brady.
I would think that you're right, that if you're going to go make a big move in the draft, you're not going to make a big move via trade. I also think we're in a situation where the Celtics are not going to make a big move in free agency. Now, their ownership group has already said they're willing to blow past the luxury tax, but right. They're already going to be doing that with Gordon Hayward, with Kyrie Irving, with Al Horford's deal, and then the money that – it sounds like they want Marcus Smart back. It sounds like he's certainly going to reject the $6 million qualifying offer that they'll give him, and he'll end up in that $12 to $15 million range or so. And it sounds like they're committed to trying to bring him back. They're going to be pushing a lot of money. I can't see them making a big free agent move. It sounds like it's going to be a trade or nothing.
It has to be a trade because they have, what did you say yesterday, 6 first-rounders in the next 3 years?
Potentially.
Including some really juicy ones, potentially. That Sacramento pick, as long as it doesn't blow up in their face and turn out to be the number one pick, which means they don't get it. They get Philly's pick instead. That's a very juicy pick because you know Sacramento is going to be terrible. They've got Memphis's number one pick next year. That's protected, I think, first 8.
Yeah.
But Memphis is going to stink next year, too. So they have a lot of very attractive trade ships. They just don't need to be drafting
guys.
Who
are you
going to
give up, though? Who are you going to give? Because you already laughed at me when I said give up Gordon Hayward. So that's off the table, or is it not off the table?
Some sort of package with all of these upcoming first rounders. I mean, you don't think the Memphis and Sacramento picks would be attractive? What are they going to do with them? There's nowhere to put these guys.
I mean,
I don't care if it's the second or the fourth overall pick or whatever. Sure, that's attractive, but not necessarily to the Celtics at this point.
As always, there's many tentacles to this. So let's start with it. Just let's back up for a sec. Mo Bamba's a 6'11 player. He's right now an interior scorer and a shot blocker. He's not so much a perimeter shooter. I think he only took 53s the whole year, 14 of 51. It's under 30%. It can develop, but it's not a part of his game coming into the league. Rich, at least, do you at least agree you like the idea of them looking to add this kind of big?
More than it's the only thing they need. Yeah, I mean, I've been saying that since preseason.
And I generally agree with you. They need a big, they need a rebounder, they need a shot blocker. But then I just wonder what impact that has on Al Horford moving forward, because Al Horford is a good enough perimeter shooter that he can hold his own out there, but he's not a perimeter player. So if you're going to clog up the lane with somebody else who can't go outside, mm-hmm. and then you've got Horford who is better suited to not go outside also, are you going to play with two bigs that relatively play this, do the same thing? Yeah, there's an impact.
Right, and the thing is, and what I said yesterday was, I'm talking about like a DeAndre Jordan, a guy who's going to get you 8 or 10 points and about 15 rebounds every night. There's 3 or 4.
I love that guy, but he comes with a high price tag.
Well, yeah, and he can't hit a free throw for his life. I mean, but there's 3 or 4 guys in this league that I would kill to have on the Celtics, and those are the guys. I'm not talking about a guy who's going to get, you know, and they're talking about Anthony Davis. I mean, you got to give up half the team to get a guy like him. Karl Anthony Towns, same thing. Those are great defenders, great rebounders. I'd look a little bit lower than that.
All
possibly.
Of a sudden, you're starting to realize if you're going to go ahead and bring back Marcus Smart or you want to keep Horford, people have got to go, who are you going to trade? Well, Rozier and Jaylen Brown are the two, but notice Gordon Hayward there. Not too many people are going to want to get that guy with that type of contract.
Right.
I've been telling you since I've been blue in the face. Not only do the Celtics would like to get rid of him and move him out, there's other teams that probably don't even want this guy.
Well, you talk about getting guys like Davis and Towns, but there's your fourth max contract. I mean, at what point does this end? If you're going to give up, you know, Brown and Rozier and the Sacramento pick and all that
Remember
other
Brady
stuff.
Remember, Brady gave Isaiah Thomas a max deal, too, when he could have.
I mean, you're bringing in a fourth max contract. That's not going to work.
Especially if you're bringing Kawhi, too.
Yeah.
There's fifth.
There you go.
And I want to go back to the impact on Horford real quick, because we got a caller that just said that the NBA needs more players that can go back to the basket, and that's what Mo Bamba is right now. Yeah, we'd like to see that. You'd like to start your offense going inside out, but that's not the way the NBA is anymore.
No.
So if you start playing Mo Bamba back to the basket, and then you're going to put Horford out at the four, that's not the Celtics' best use of their resources. So, again, with what you have to this is the kind of player that the Celtics should want. I don't know that this is the move that they should make. When you talk about Jaylen Brown, when you talk about Rozier, when you talk about future draft picks all being given up to go get a guy who is still a project. Mo Bamba is a project. He's an athlete. He's a good shot blocker. I don't look at him as a you know, like who was Clint Capella before this year?
Right.
So it's, I feel like it's kind of in that vein. I feel like he's not ready to help you win a championship next year.
No, and I'm not trading him for projects, especially when I've got some pretty good pieces that I could move around for maybe a Kawhi Leonard or something like that. I'm not, look, don't start reaching. Don't start, reaching for the things on the top shelf. Just because everything on the middle shelves is sold out, you start reaching for the little U stuff. Don't do that, because that's the best way to find yourself in a hole like the Red Sox have. Matter of fact, speaking about the Red Sox, they signed a player. What did you think about this? This is exactly what I've been telling you about for since the year started, Brady.
Please, you take the floor.
Tell us.
I said, look, they got to go ahead and get themselves a guy.
Well, first off, tell them Adam Lind. They signed Adam Lind, former first baseman. He's played with everybody. He's played with Toronto, most notably early in his career in Milwaukee. He's played with the Mariners, Washington. He was with the Yankees on a minor league deal this year as well.
I said, you got to get these guys that don't come with the high price. Somebody that's going to, I originally said this is the type of pitcher that you want to get, a veteran that's been around for a while, that's having a bad start or maybe a bad couple of years, that hopefully could turn it around. He's not even having that bad couple of years, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
You're going to get him for the short time. This is the type of veteran you need. He's going to replace Ramirez with the pop of the bat. This is exactly the type of pickup they needed.
Yeah, why is this guy floating around and nobody's grabbing him? He hit 300 last year in 115, 116 games.
I have no idea
why,
Brady.
He's got some power. I mean, he drove in 87 runs with Milwaukee a couple of years ago. He's a good major league hitter. Nobody seemed to want him. Is he stink defense? Is he a problem in the clubhouse?
Well, I mean, let's address both of those issues separately, because Rich has real questions and Arnie has asinine
statements.
So, Rich, let's start with you.
Thank you.
I can't tell you why he doesn't have a major league job. He has been a productive player, and you are right about that. But
I said that too.
When we look at, remember how the free agent market evolved? The tanking teams don't want productive players at the moment, and he's not good enough to be your starter on the contending teams. In the world of the have and have nots, he's not quite good enough for the haves, and he's too good for the have nots. That's why he didn't have a job, although I find it perplexing also. And Arnie,
yes,
he's a depth piece only for the Red Sox. He's not even going to be on the major league roster without an injury. He is a redundant player.
Oh, he'll be up on the Red Sox, I promise you.
He is a redundant player to Mitch Moreland. He is exactly the same, okay? He's left-handed in the same way that Moreland is left-handed. He has similar power to Mitch Moreland, and he plays far worse defense to Mitch Moreland. You're not employing two lefties that both need platoons to go and play first base.
What I said, this is exactly what I wanted in a pitcher. A guy that's a veteran at the end of his career that nobody else wanted, but still has something left in him, kind of exactly what they did with Adam Lind. Somebody that maybe won 8 to 10 games last year, and you guys are like, who? I'm like, I don't know. I'm not thinking Doug Fister last year. Like you did with that, or like you did with this signing. Give me the same signing, but with a pitcher. I don't know who's out there that had 8 wins, but had 15 wins maybe 4 years ago, went through an injury for a couple of years. Those are the type of players that you need to pick up. I thought this was fantastic.
That's great. I'd like it if it were a pitcher, but it's not. It's Adam Lind.
Right,
Adam Lind doesn't play unless Mitch Moreland's hurt. He's the same player, worse.
He is. The only thing that Adam Lind is going to make any sense, since he is a lefty and he kills right-handed hitters, a pitching, it doesn't kill him. I think he had 280 over his career. He can't touch lefties, as many lefties can't. But, I mean, he is Mitch Moreland Jr. The only thing I can think of is if Moreland gets hurt.
So you think this is no deal?
Him to Pawtucket. If he hits 180 over a month, then he's gone.
You are not allowed to cheer for this guy when they bring him up and he starts hitting. You're like, what a great pickup that was. Who would have thought that he'd be one of the X factors when we're getting ready for the playoffs?
Why? This is not a hard-hitting pickup. This isn't one where you can go, oh my gosh, we got Adam Lind. I can't believe it. The World Series is ours.
No, but I thought that was a damn good pickup.
I like it statistically. I just think, as Brady said, it's Mitch Moreland Jr.
There was actually people that said stuff on the Top Fair Tire text line earlier in the show going, are you going to talk about Lind? I mean, that doesn't go on with just any pickup there. I don't know. I thought that was pretty good.
There's got to be a reason he's been with 4 teams in 4 years. Actually, 5 teams.
Okay, he's old. That's why. He's old. That's why he's been with that many teams there. I don't know. Rich, he was a big star.
I mean, he's 34.
He was a big star 10 years ago, was he not?
Yes, he drove in 35 and 114 for Toronto in 2009. That might as well be 50 years ago in baseball terms.
I thought it was a good pickup. That's what I'm talking about.
No, I think it could be, but let's send him to the AAA and see what happens.
Watch, he'll do it great. You go, why is he not up? Why is he not up? Brady, what do we got coming up next?
If Bill Belichick had a burner Twitter account, what kind of things would he be saying?
All right. And look at the top fair tire tech side. Artie's good at solving problems with no specifics. Wow.
Just ask his wife.
Yes, exactly. That's coming up next right here on 101.3 ESPN.
Go Lake and Wink. The commercials are over and the guys are back. The Huddle with Rich, Arnie, and Brady on 101.3 ESPN.
What do you mean I'm good at problem solving with no specifics? I've had specifics. I told you that.
They're just all wrong.
I told you get rid of Gordon Hayward. That's specific. Trade him.
I can't get much more specific than that.
Yeah, I don't know if I get
that. As absurd as it is.
Exactly. Vince has enough guys already. Red Sox are going to flame out anyway.
Whatever.
Wow.
Vince.
And Scott in Virginia says, was wondering when we're going to be coming back to Ferrisburg at the tavern.
At the Village Tavern in North Ferrisburg.
Yes.
We have a summer circuit that will be going on, so we'll be announcing all of those spots soon.
And where did you say that the bartenders are very good looking there? Is that what you
said? Oh, absolutely.
Okay, because I had not noticed that. I don't look.
You haven't noticed?
Of course I have. I'm not dead.
No, the problem is they're all staring at you.
Yes.
Yeah.
You don't have you have a good butt?
Yes.
Did you just say that?
I don't.
Did you just say that on the air?
Yeah.
Ugh.
I don't even want to continue. Just
you must mean a cigarette butt.
Oh, gosh.
I don't want to even want to continue.
Okay, get to this story.
I
because
have a good butt.
This is actually a big story today.
How are we supposed to? Even carry on?
I'm trying.
Is
I'm
it
trying.
6 o'clock yet?
All right, not Jerry Colangelo, but Brian Colangelo, his son, in a lot of hot water today because of, allegedly, I'll say allegedly, because he's denying the fact. He is admitting that he had one burner account. But he's denying the other, five or six. I don't know how many there were, Brady, out there. And he's in a lot of hot water if this turns out to be true.
Yeah, what a fascinating story this is. Yeah. He's got fake Twitter accounts out there that are supporting only the moves that he, the executive, has made and rips other players on the team that were acquired by Sam Hinkie. And he says he'd start the team with Ben Simmons over Joel Embiid, that Embiid doesn't play through pain, that Fultz can't play through pain. This is... He's going to lose his job if this is true. There's no question about that. But I mean, what a joke this is. What a 2018 problem to have.
Kevin Durant had a fake Twitter account that he was running out there. Oh, I think a lot of athletes, Brady, if we found out the truth, have a lot of fake Twitter accounts.
Oh, I bet they do. Do you have one?
No. I barely have my own. I barely can handle my own Twitter account.
I'm still trying to figure out how to make my own work.
But what do they call that when somebody takes a Twitter account from you? What is that called?
I don't know.
Do you know, like their Twitter handle's like not the real Arnie Spanier.
Oh, so when they just have a fake Twitter account.
Yeah, I have somebody his Twitter account's Arnie Spangler or something, and he comments on everything I comment on. So I don't know what they call that, but no, I would not have a fake.
A guy
Twitter.
With too much time on.
Yeah,
his
exactly, hands. Exactly. Because you know, there's like not the real Scott Van Pelt or not the real SportsCenter and stuff like that. But you know, I can't imagine if you want to say things nowadays in this era, you just say it, put it out on Twitter, right? Just go ahead and say what you got to say. You don't go ahead and make some fake Twitter account.
Don't rip your team.
But more important, it's not ripping your team. It's the information he gave out medically.
Yes, about Jahlil Okafor.
Yeah, and you know, that's serious stuff. By the way, You know, that's a crime. I want you to know that.
Yeah.
That's HIPAA. A crime. By the way, JPP sued Adam Schefter, and Adam Schefter got in big trouble over putting out reports of
the hand injury, where he lost his finger.
The X-ray. Yeah, the X-ray.
How could a general manager of a professional, a successful now professional basketball team, be this stupid? I mean, this...
And he's been around the block. I mean, he was in Toronto with his father. He used to own the Suns.
And at some point when you have five of them... Doesn't it become kind of obvious that something's going on? I mean, I'm reading this.
He is denying the other four.
No, but yeah, but
I'm just saying what
No, but you know what that means. That's
Jordan
just,
Schultz
that's
just put out that he got a tweet from Brian Colangelo saying, quote unquote, somebody's out to get me. So I'm just giving you all.
Yeah, but he put out one. Isn't one enough?
Yes.
How many? I mean, who cares if it's one or five? That's insanity.
That's true. I'm just giving you his side of the story.
I'm reading this stuff about Embiid. He's just crushing him, saying he's a baby and he's making up injuries because he's lazy and he doesn't. I'm like, really? I heard this story. I didn't know what a burner account was from anything, and once I found out what it was, now I see why it's such a big story. I mean, he's hammering his own players.
Brady, when you have an account that says Philadelphia 76ers 1234567, I mean, what the hell is that about? You could tell me, instead of it should be like Philly fan for life or Philly hater for life, just the fact that you did something bogus like that and put a name like that, you'd think that it was somebody undercover. You know what I mean? Just that, so uncreative.
It's crazy. I was thinking about this. What if Bill Belichick had a Twitter burner account?
If Bill Belichick had a burner account.
There's a better chance I'm riding a unicycle to San Diego tomorrow.
I think I've got six things that Belichick would say on his burner account.
What one would be the Patriots have clinched the AL East before the season started?
The AFC
East. I mean the AFC East, I'm sorry.
No, because if he's going to go in true Brian Colangelo alleged form, he could just say, Cassius Marsh couldn't hack it in Belichick's system. Go back to Seattle. That's the kind of stuff he would say.
No, this is what he would say. This is what he would say. Tom Brady's the one that wanted Garoppolo traded.
Yes.
Inside sources said Brady's the one that wanted Garoppolo traded. That's what he would say.
Brady's a whiner. He's always complaining at the refs. Blah, blah. I mean, you hear all this stuff from the fans anyway, but can you imagine Belichick letting him
have it? Or if he said, Brady already has Giselle. He needs to ditch her and get back to OTAs. Hashtag do your job.
No, he would say that Matt Patricia really didn't do anything for that defense. It was all Belichick, so they're not going to miss a beat without him. Stuff like that.
How about Kraft always takes Brady's side? Why does he do that? He never supports Bill.
Yeah. Support Bill more.
Hashtag in Bill we trust.
Yeah, support Bill more. Why doesn't Giselle stay out of this? It's not her decision. These are football decisions. You know, stuff like that.
Yoko Ono.
Tom vs. Time was the worst document series ever.
He doesn't even know, but he doesn't even do Twitter, does he? Does Belichick have a
Maybe.
I don't even
well,
know.
Well, he claims to have no idea how to even use it. What do you call it? InstaChat and
Snapface.
Yeah, Snapface.
Yeah, he can watch and analyze film, but he can not use.
Trust
Twitter,
me,
yeah.
Anything that helps him win or potentially win one play of one game, he will get involved in.
Yeah, I would love to find out. But he doesn't do regular Twitter. Otherwise, we'd be on his Twitter account every second.
Yeah.
I'd be just hitting refresh, just waiting for anything for him to tweet on out. Just give me something out there. But no such luck on that. All right, though, when we get back, last story standing, and it's a pretty good one, because I guess a couple of NBA players are taking to Twitter to say that the referee, well, I'll tell you what they say about the NBA referees. That's coming up next right here on
Time for one last piece of news gone untouched throughout the show. Wacky or insightful? It's time for Last Story Standing on the Huddle on 101.3 ESPN.
All right, two quick stories. First one, just breaking news. What future Hall of Famer just showed up to Patriots camp?
Tom Brady.
Brian Hoyer.
Kobe Bryant did, actually. Kobe Bryant.
Brian Hoyer.
Kobe Bryant showed up to Patriots camp.
Michigan today. State future Hall of Famer.
No, it wasn't Tom Brady. I was hoping people would get all excited about it. No, Kobe showed up there today, was taking pictures with people. And wow, don't knock Kobe.
No, I'm telling you about Brady. Okay. Who cares if he's there?
Kobe was having a good time. He has a book coming out. Real quick, Jeremy Lin, DeMarcus Cousins, both took to Twitter. Jeremy Lin wrote this, as objectively as I can be. When you start with that, you know it's not going to be.
That can't be good.
The Warriors are probably still the better team, but the referees are definitely helping them. Talking about Game 7 against the Rockets, DeMarcus Cousins just went, the Zebras are on the run. He just went out about that. They say they favor the Golden State Warriors, that these referees will favor the Golden State Warriors over the Cleveland Cavaliers. So
that would play against the narrative that the refs only like LeBron.
Well, I don't buy that to be true also. I think they do favor him a little bit, but not like they do the Warriors. I think they go out, over and about to give them the call.
Has anybody really ever gone off the fame cliff faster than Jeremy Lin? Remember with the Knicks? It was literally all they were talking about.
He was
about
putting up numbers
month.
Like that were like making him a Hall of Famer.
But it was all anyone talked about.
Yeah.
It was 24/7. What is Jeremy? Oh, Jeremy Lin is has got a hangnail. Let's talk about it.
And then he was with the Lakers,
minutes.
Right? He was
with the Lakers and then the Nets. And he's with the Hornets also for a bit. Well, it helped lead him to the playoffs with Kemba Walker.
He's making money now, that's for damn sure. All right, quick show today. We just flew on by. When's the drawing for the Sox ticket? Somebody wants to know.
Yesterday.
That was yesterday. That was yesterday.
Day late and a dollar short.
Yesterday at 5 it was.
We already told the winner and had them on, so if we didn't tell you and didn't have you on, unfortunately you did not win. Brady, what's coming up on Champagne Valley Game Night?
We got a cool interview coming up at 6:40. Jesse Itzler, who's the co-owner of the Atlanta Hawks and also worth $200 million.
Wow.
Now, is another co-owner the woman from Twister? The psychiatrist who sat in the back seat during Twister?
Or a woman from Seinfeld.
The woman who invented Spanx.
No, remember the
woman? That's his wife.
Yeah, okay. Well, I know she's part owner, too.
So I was just mentioning her at the draft. Remember when the Hawks got the pick and she stood between the two tall guys? Yeah.
All right. Okay. Well, we got all that coming up next for intern. Anybody?
Intern Kevin.
Wow, I never see that guy, but he was here. So
he was there yesterday, too.
Yesterday, but not today. I don't have to thank him again today if he was just there yesterday. For Brady, for Rich, I'm Arnie. Champaign Valley Game Night coming up next right here on 101.3 ESPN.